We continue our conversations now. Our next guest is a Republican candidate. He's running for state Senate in District 26, and he's reaching us from Wood, South Dakota. Joel, thank you so much for being here with us.
Good morning, Lori. How are you doing?
So let's start with a little bit of your background, and tell us a little bit about yourself and why run for a seat in the state capitol.
Thank you. So I was born in Kansas. 2 years old, my parents moved us back to South Dakota to the farm and ranch. My dad wanted us to raise us on the farm and to have that experience of growing up out here and just the community that we have out here and the work ethic. I learned three values, important values, by growing up on the farm. It's how to have responsibilities, how to work hard, and faith and family. When I was 19 years old, I moved to Michigan to branch out a little bit and to explore the world a little bit. Met my wife there, brought her back home to South Dakota while we were dating. She spent the summer out here, and at the end of the summer, she wanted to go to town just to make sure that there was other people around. So we are very rural out here. We have 5 children. We have our own operation. I work alongside my dad and my uncle, but they have their operation together, their partnership, and I have my own operation, my own farm, Joel Koskin Farms. I've chosen to run for office. I've served on the, 3 boards so far. Northern Plains Sustainable Ag Society, first off. It's a regional board. Encompasses Canada, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Nebraska. After serving on that board for 5 years, I went on to OCIA, which is a Northern Plains Sustainable Ag is NPSAS. OCIA is Organic Crop Improvement Association, which is an international certifying agency, and that has Canada, United States, Mexico, Argentina, some in Japan, and a couple other countries. And then while on that board, also I served on the school board for our district here, for our school district, which was Wood, Witten, and Colombe. It's Colombe Consolidated School District. I'm just entering, this month will be my 6th year I'm entering into. So that's kind of what leads me to the next step is with legislature. I see a lot of the problems that have been created by the legislation of 2016. I've seen firsthand the struggles that the bills of like SB 131 has caused school districts in our area to eliminate a reduction in force, RIF teachers, causing hardships. And those hardships in our communities are at a bigger level because you got most of these teachers that are living in our area, they have, that's one of their one of the main sources of income for other farmers, we already have a depressed ag communities because of the tariffs that are going on. I heard you talking in the last segment about about what the national level, how that affects us. Farmers right now currently are 5 times more likely to commit suicide than any other sector of the population. that's kind of where I guess where I start to come into this is I look at all these effects of the 2016 tax bills, and the other thing is this in 2016 the small school factor was taken out with Senate Bill 131. All the schools in my district are small schools, and that directly affected them. We don't have, tennis in our schools in any of the districts that I have. We don't have golf. I mean, we have golf, I guess, we collaborate with another district. But it's not like we have a lot of extras, and we really desperately need that small school factor put back into the formula. And that's one of the I jump right into it, but this is that I'm passionate about that. That's what I've had 5 years in this, and We need to get another thing is of it is that we need to get the local control back to the local level, where they respond faster and more efficiently than our state government does, we need to stop eroding the power of the school boards and the county commissions.
Do you think that funding formula can be adjusted? I mean, do you think that the increase in teacher salaries overall was a positive step to sort of bring South Dakota up from the bottom, and now it just needs to be adjusted? Or do you think that there are bigger, broader legislative changes that need to happen that sort of address what the Blue Ribbon Task Force recommended and what lawmakers voted in?
So part of that half-penny sales tax was taken and put into tech schools. I know Lee Schoenbeck, he was the Schoenbeck Amendment. I love Lee. It was taken out of that half-penny that was billed for teachers and put it into tech schools. Some of that needs to come back, I believe, and can be used for these small schools to put us more in line with the state constitution. I think I said that already, but the state constitution guarantees a uniform system of free public schools. I would argue that at this point, we are not a uniform school system. You have the Big Ten schools that have more opportunities, you have the CTE program over in Sioux Falls, which is an amazing building. I had the opportunity to go through it last school board session when we were back there in August. And it's a beautiful facility. We have implemented, along with four other schools, or actually now three other schools, the Cologne School District has the CTE program, which starts to prepare these kids for the jobs that are available. That starts to go and get them ready for welding, for building
right.
trades.
Some of those technical careers,
And engineering. And so, I mean, and I've heard good responses out of those, like the engineering. We had a gentleman come up to us at one of the school board meetings and said, you know, my daughter, because of the engineering CTE, she chose that she wanted to go to South Dakota School of Mines Technology because she wants to be an engineer. And until that point, she didn't know what she wanted to be, but that solidified in her head where she wanted to be. Back to your question. I think there is ways to work with it. It might be painful for other parts. Or other schools, but it needs to happen. We need to go and get that back in there. It was in there up until 2016, and with that bill, it was taken out.
In our remaining minute here, let's talk a little bit about those tariffs and how they're affecting the ag industry. Do you think there is a state legislative solution or opportunities for the state, or is that something that you see is sort of out of state lawmakers' hands and needs to be more of a congressional delegation topic?
It is more at the congressional level. So I'll speak to the tariff. And a lot of people have this misunderstanding. They think farmers are getting what some people have called it welfare with the EWG. The reason that we have those farm subsidies like we do is because of reasons like this. The government has always used, or not always, but in certain times in history have used commodities as a trading tool and as a negotiation tool, excuse me. And that's where they saw that was affecting farmers back, I think it was probably 30 plus years ago. And they went and started to do the subsidies, which allowed us to have have a regular steady income. I don't think that we can at a state level push back on that. We just need to lobby our senators and our representatives in D.C. to continue to work along with Trump and to make things, to move this along as fast as we can. It takes a while, but you negotiate from a position of power and you have opportunities, and you never know what the opportunities will open up after this.
Joel Koskin on the phone from Wood, South Dakota. He's a Republican candidate. He's running for state senate in District 26. Joel, thank you so much for your time and insight today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. I'd just like to wish everybody a happy 4th of July tomorrow. And also, I have a Facebook page, and my number's on that page. Feel free to call me, and I'd ask for your vote in District 26.